anger and chaos mounting at Joe Biden because Congress allowed the eviction ban to expire. The eviction moratorium expires and millions face the possibility of losing a home. Welcome to being an adult. Call me old school. Do I feel sorry for these people? No. I want to make that clear. I do not feel sorry for them. If you were angry or frustrated that Congress was willing to pay your bills for months on end, some of you for more than a year, and you want me to think that you're a victim, I don't. I think you're an idiot. If you're a grown adult and you didn't plan to start paying your bills by now, you're an idiot. If you think that this country's job is to pay for your bills, you're an idiot. Now, this is expiring, and people, of course, are losing their minds over this. AOC was on State of the Union with Jake Tapper, who actually implied that somehow people are owed this, that they should be obviously very upset that they're losing this benefit all in the name of COVID. Now, remember, there's such a thing in this country now as COVID rich. Did you know that? Yeah, COVID rich. You want to know what COVID rich means? It means you got more money than you did pre-COVID because of all the government benefits. That is COVID rich. That is COVID rich. When somebody else is paying your mortgage, or I say your rent, that is COVID rich. When you get paid more to not work than to work, that's COVID rich. When you get benefits for your family that never even existed before, and you still don't go get a job on purpose, that is COVID rich. Add all of it up and you're COVID rich. Well, now the chickens are coming home to roost because we're running out of our money. Now, remember, when these bills are being paid, it's being paid with our money. We're going into debt, our money. We're talking about serious debt, and it's all our money. AOC, though, doesn't see it that way. She thinks we should keep paying people's mortgages, keep paying their rents indefinitely, I guess. Take a listen.
That this eviction deadline was coming for weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Democrats control the House. You guys control the Senate. You guys control the White House. Nothing aggressive was done by leadership until just a couple days ago. Who's to blame here?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of issues here. First of all, you are absolutely correct in that the House and House leadership had the opportunity to vote to extend the moratorium. And there were many, and there was frankly a handful of conservative Democrats in the House that threatened to get on planes rather than hold this vote. And we have to really just call a spade. We cannot, in good faith, blame the Republican Party when House Democrats have a majority. Now, there is something...
By the way, I have to agree with AOC on that point. We cannot blame the Republican Party when the Democrats had control of the House and the Senate and they could have done whatever the hell they wanted to. This is maybe the only time in my life I might actually quote AOC in a positive way. Her exact words, as she said about this, and she's absolutely right. We cannot in good faith blame the Republican Party when House Democrats have the majority. Wow. It's about time someone told the truth. Now, the Democrats didn't want to extend this again, and the reason why was pretty clear. Right? The reason why was pretty obvious. They didn't want to extend it because they knew that the music had to end. It had to stop at some point. Right? At some point, you got to end this insanity of treating adults like infant children, giving them COVID-rich money and benefits that make them, quote, COVID-rich. But if you're AOC, this is what socialism is, right? The government should pay for everything, for all of it.
To be said for the fact that this court order came down on the White House a month ago, and the White House waited until the day before the House adjourned to release a statement asking on Congress to extend the moratorium. This came after weeks. I sit on the Financial Services Committee, which has jurisdiction over housing. We had, you know, the housing secretary there asking about the administration's stance. We asked the Biden administration about their stance, and they were not being really forthright about that advocacy and that request until the day before the House adjourned. And so The House was put into a, I believe, a needlessly difficult situation. And it's not just me saying that. Financial Services Chairwoman Maxine Waters has made that very clear as well. And so there's a couple of contributing factors here. We have governors who are also not getting this emergency rental assistance out in time, which is forcing this extension. What we would like.
Let me just ask a question here. Do you notice I said this emergency renters assistance out in time? We've been dealing with COVID for 18 months. 18 months, y'all. 18 months. Is it an emergency anymore, or is this the new reality? People have had a child, gotten pregnant again, and had another child in the time we're talking about here. To put it in perspective. I mean, COVID is no longer an emergency crisis. COVID is now just a reality. It's a reality in the world. The idea that you're still looking at this as an emergency is insane. It's not an emergency. It was at the beginning. It was a pandemic at the beginning. Now this is just the normal world, the real world that we live in. This isn't emergency funds anymore. This is laziness funds. This is, we believe that you are so lazy, but you'll vote for us that we'll give you more money and we'll put the government into more debt. We'll waste more of your tax dollars pandering so you'll vote for us. That's all this is. It's not an emergency anymore.
Like an extension of the moratorium. The fact of the matter is that the problem is here. The House should reconvene and call this vote and extend the moratorium. There's about 11 million people that are behind on their rent at risk of eviction. That's one out of every six renters in the United States.
Congress is out of town.
By the way, let's deal with that. One out of six renters is there saying who could be evicted. I'm sorry. Good. This is the great correction. Welcome to being an adult. When you're an adult, if you can't figure out how to pay your bills in 18 months, then you don't deserve to be propped up any longer. Welcome to adulthood. This is adulthood. You got to learn how to pay your own bills. There's a lot of things you can figure out in 18 months, folks. I mean, a lot of things that you can figure out in 18 months. And this is one of them. In 18 months, you should have figured out a way so that you wouldn't be caught with your pants down on a moratorium eviction and then act like you're a victim when clearly you are not a victim. You are, I'll say it again, you're not a victim. Let me say it again. You are not a victim. Let me say it again. You're not a victim if in after 18 months... 18 months, after 18 months, they finally come to you and say, okay, now you've got to pay your bills. You are not a victim. But AOC says, oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. We do need more money, and we need to pay people's bills, and we need to pay their bills right now. They're owed this. This is America. You don't let people go out in the streets and be homeless. Well, if you're an adult and you don't pay your bills, you deserve to be homeless. Because you're an adult. We're not talking about a child here. We're talking about an adult. We're talking about adults here, not children. But the federal government continues to treat adults like children, telling them they don't have to be responsible for their actions, telling them they don't have to pay their bills. Just think about this headline. Anger mounts as Biden and Congress allow eviction ban. You got to live for 18 months without paying your bills. And made money doing it, and now you're angry about it? You want to talk about entitlement? Take a listen to Good Morning America talking about this as well.
For millions of Americans, the federal moratorium on evictions expiring overnight as last-ditch efforts.
You notice that, right? As last-ditch efforts. Did you hear that? Yeah, last-ditch efforts. They want you to understand how just terrible and last second, last moment, last ditch efforts failed. Your government, it failed you. That's what they're telling you in the beginning of their monologue. Last ditch efforts to save you because apparently you deserve saving.
Millions of Americans, the federal moratorium on evictions expiring overnight as last-ditch efforts by progressives on Capitol Hill failed to win an extension. Our Mary Alice Parks is live on Capitol Hill with what this all means for renters struggling in the pandemic. Mary Alice, good morning.
By the way, are you struggling? Let's challenge that premise from Good Morning America. Are you struggling if you're not having to pay your rent? Are you struggling if you're making more money not going to work than when you went to work? Because if someone's paying my rent, by definition, I am not struggling. So excuse me if I'm not buying your crap, right? But they set it up perfectly that you're a victim, America, and now you're struggling, even though we've been paying your bills, which means you're not struggling.
Our Mary Alice Parks is live on Capitol Hill with what this all means for renters struggling in the pandemic. Mary Alice, good morning.
Whit, good morning. Millions today, you can imagine, are waking up incredibly anxious, now possibly facing the threat of eviction. Like you said, that federal eviction moratorium put in place last year to help keep people in their homes during the pandemic, it officially expired at midnight. And so experts are worried the country could be on the brink of an absolute housing crisis. Now, some states do have local moratoriums still in place, including New York and California, you see on the list there. Still, according to U.S. Census data, over 3.5 million people say they are worried they are facing eviction. 7 million say they are behind on rent. Now, last night here on the steps of the Capitol, Congresswoman Cori Bush and a handful of other progressives held a rally. They are angry that the White House has not done more. They are begging their colleagues to act. On Friday, Democrats in the House just did not have the votes, though, to get a bill done before they went out of session for the rest of the summer. And we've not seen Republicans here in the Senate in favor of moving on this. And that's partly because tens of billions of dollars has already been rolled out to the states to help renters. The question is, why has that money been so slow to get out the door? We know that only about $3 billion of the $46.5 billion has actually gone out. That's money that could really help renters and landlords. There's just a lot of pressure on the states now to get that money to the people who need it most. Eva?
Mary Alice Parks for us there on Capitol Hill. Thank you.
I love this. You know, who needs it? Who needs it the most, right? It's who needs it the most. We've been giving it to you for 18 months. Come on. These people need it the most. We've been giving it to you for 18 months. And now you want me to believe that this is somehow just horrific? Congress already approved nearly $47 billion in tax dollars in federal housing aid to states during the pandemic. We've already paid out of our own pockets for people that are, the majority of them, lazy, $47 billion. That doesn't even count the state funds that came in there. All right? They say, oh, well, it's been slow to make into the hands of renters and landlords who were owed payments. Well, it's a government program. Of course it's going to be slow. And Joe Biden, by the way, every single conservative, every single Republican needs to be telling the world this. They didn't want to save you. Let's exploit that politically, because when you come out the day before the ban set to expire, as Biden did, calling on local governments to take all possible steps to immediately disperse the funds, right? There, quote, there can be no excuse for any state or locality not accelerating funds to landlords and tenants that have been hurt during the pandemic, he said in a statement. Why did they wait to the night before to do this? Because they didn't want to extend it, because they knew that this was a waste of taxpayers' dollars and it was pandering. That's why they knew it. Brian Deese, director of the White House National Economic Council, echoed that sentiment, saying, quote, today, no landlord should evict without seeking that rental assistance. So now you want to dictate to landlords what they can and cannot do when it comes to evicting people. Maybe you're a landlord and you want an actual tenant that pays their damn bills instead of the government paying the bill to you. Maybe you don't trust the government. The point is, the landlord should not be taking every single demand that is given to them in a private sector, private contract between a tenant and an owner from the federal government. Stay the hell out of my life. They went on to say states and localities need to get that money out urgently, and they can do that. House Speaker Pelosi urged Democrats in a letter Saturday night to check into how the money already allocated has been distributed so far in their own states and localities. She said the Treasury Department, which transferred the funds earlier this year, offered to brief lawmakers next week. So this is how far behind they are in actually like doing their job. Biden set off the scramble by announcing Thursday he would allow the eviction ban to expire instead of challenging a recent Supreme Court ruling, signaling this would be the last deadline. Why? Because he knew he was going to lose. Now, the White House, quote, had been clear that Biden would have liked to extend the federal eviction moratorium. This is the scumbags in the media, right, covering for Biden. Quote, the White House has been clear that Biden had liked to extend the federal eviction moratorium because of the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant of the coronavirus. But there were also concerns that challenging the court could lead to a ruling restricting the administration's ability to respond to future public health crises. Dun, dun, dun. Now, remember, the main reason why the White House didn't challenge is because in a 5-4 vote in June, the Supreme Court allowed the broad eviction ban to continue only through the end of July. One of those in the majority in the five was Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He made it clear that he would block any additional extensions unless there was clear and specific congressional authorization. Pay your bills. Grow up. Stop asking for handouts. And the National Apartment Association and several others this week filed a federal lawsuit, which they have a very good chance of winning, asking the federal government for $26 billion in damages because of the impact of their moratorium. And landlords, if you think they like this government money, they don't. They are against any extension. They, too, are arguing for speeding up the distribution of rental assistance, but saying we are tired of living in this limbo with the federal government. Now, let's go back to how much money we've already been spending here. The administration is trying to keep renters in place, they say, through other means. It released more than $1.5 billion in rental assistance in June alone. So that's how much of your tax dollars we just spent. It's not just the housing moratorium the Democrats are pushing for when it comes to socialism. I'll give you another example. Members of the squad, Ilhan Omar, are now pushing a $1,200 monthly guaranteed income, includes homeless and some in U.S. illegally. And yet another scheme for radical Democrats to buy votes. They have now come out with total socialism, an extreme socialist ideal, as they call it. The representative out of Minnesota proposed not one but two bills on Friday that the media is not covering that would provide a guaranteed income of $1,200 every month to most Americans. The two proposals were formally introduced in the Sending Unconditional Payments to People Overcoming Resistance to Triumph, also known as the Support Act, and the Genuine Progress Indicator, GPI Act. These are real. This is not a joke. The Support Act would focus on guaranteed income programs and start by funding pilot programs across the country from 2023 to 2027 with $2.5 billion in grants alone. The findings, they say, of the pilot program would then be reviewed in anticipation of creating a national program where almost every American would be guaranteed each and every month $1,200 from the federal government. Starting in 2028, the bill would aim to send each American that amount of money every year if you make less than $75,000 a year. Or heads of household with incomes of less than $112,500 a year. So to be clear, I want you to understand. If you and your wife, and this is where they're going with this, and I have no doubt this is going to have a real chance of happening. If you make $112,000 a year, okay, as a family, and then you purposely don't make any more than that, because why would you when you have this other bill that sends you $1,200 a month to adults making less than $75,000 a year, and then that money could go to $2,400 a month for adults combined? So if you're making, let's just do this on an individual, $1,200 a month times 12 months in a year is $14,400. So you add $14,400 to $75,000, you come out with 89.4 a year, and the government's going to give you 14 plus thousand of that money just free. Let's talk about families. Let's say you're making 112. All right, then you get an extra 2,400 times 12. That's 28.8. It's good money, right? Now you add your 1,112 or 112,000 to that, you're rich. You are rich. 112, and then you're 48. What does that come to? 160,000 and change. That's what the government wants to give to every American, or liberals, socialists. Now, who's going to pay for this? The taxpayers. Anyone making over $75,000 a year as an individual or $112,500 as a couple are going to get hammered. As if to ensure the bill passes, the radical left and their smell test, it also includes provisions, you ready for this, for illegal immigrants who file taxes and would establish a banking system through the Postal Service for, quote, unbanked, underbanked, and individuals experiencing housing instability. Poverty is a choice, Omar said in a statement about the bills. For too long, we have prioritized endless growth while millions are homeless, hungry, or without health care. So she's now blaming America's prosperity for this problem. We as a nation have the ability to make sure everybody has their basic needs like food, housing, and health care met every month. She says the GPI Act would include alternate economic metrics to measure the economic well-being of households, calibrate and calculate it through adjustments to gross domestic product that account for positive and negative economic, environmental, and social factors that contribute to, quote, economic activity. Fellow progressive representatives that co-sponsor the Support Act include Cori Bush, Dwight Evans, Jamal Bowman. The programs would likely have some unintended consequences. I'll give you an example. During the past year and a half, the extended unemployment benefit provided many unemployed with an extra $300 weekly bonus that led to an astounding 1.8 million Americans losing the desire to work as they were spoon-fed enough money through unemployment benefits, which led to grim jobs reports, paying people not to work, and it worked. There was a clear indication that once red states started opting out of the federal unemployment program, interest in job postings increased by 5% within a month of mostly Republican-led states ending the federal pandemic unemployment compensation program. They had a 33% drop in new jobless claims in those states because Republicans are smart and said, we don't want socialism. Get your grown adult AWS back to work. The cities of Oakland and Stockton and the county of Merriam in California have already forged ahead with the idea of mandating universal basic income despite people saying this is a bad idea. All three jurisdictions have implemented pilot programs to test their theory that we should distribute wealth. The wealth distribution program in Oakland is particularly troublesome, and by the way, racist, as it redirects funds only to people of color. So if you're a single mom who's got the wrong skin color, you're screwed. In March, Rochester, New York Mayor Lovely Warren has upped the ante to propose a program that would include not only redistributing other people's wealth, but also their property. You heard me, their property. Mayor Warren announced effective immediately an effort to explore one, reparations, two, universal basic income, and three, home ownership. Mayor Warren announced today an initiative to explore the implementation of reparations, including the possible establishment of universal basic income program as well as home ownership program, taking away other people's homes and giving them to others. Must be nice. This is happening in the United States of America right now. So if you think it's just about this moratorium with COVID, it's not. You know, these squad members brag about being homeless for a night outside the secure Capitol. What a sacrifice with a stupid stunt they did. You know, they were out there wanting you to tell them how great they were, how amazing they were, because U.S. Representative Cori Bush spent Friday evening and early Saturday morning protesting outside the U.S. Capitol building against an upcoming end to the eviction moratorium. The place was totally secure. You can't get in. They held up signs in front of the Capitol that said, housing is a human right. Cori Bush said, many of my Democratic colleagues chose to go on vacation early today rather than staying to vote to keep people in their homes. I'll be sleeping outside the Capitol tonight. We've still got work to do. Idiots. These are idiots that are getting elected and they're giving away things and they're making people dependent on the government like modern day slavery. That is what this is. It is modern day slavery, plain and simple. And everybody knows it. But when you can control people the way that they're trying to control people and make it where you can't even pay your basic bills without them, they own you. You're totally dependent on them, and then they can do whatever the hell they want to do to you. It's a pretty brilliant move. It's a pretty brilliant move. All right, I want to remind you, all of the data that we just gave you is in our podcast. So make sure that you share our podcast with your family and friends if you want them to hear this. All right. All you got to do is grab our podcast. It's free. Subscribing to it costs you not a single dime. It is free. It costs you nothing. All you got to do is download the Ben Ferguson podcast, subscribe to it, and you can grab it. It is that easy.